Well, welcome everyone. What an honor it is for me to be able to do this and know that you're giving of your time to listen to me teach the Word of God. And together, I believe He's taking us to places that we've desired to go, but maybe we just haven't had the fullness of what we need in order to step into it. And I believe the one we're talking, what we're going to be talking about in this new session today, really positions us to take great strides forward as we walk in this. Now, you'll remember last week we talked about resisting complacency, something I heard from the Lord, and we went through a lot of detail on it. And we saw the evils, if I can say it that way, of being complacent, the negative position that it puts people in. And we also saw that it was a heart issue. It's not just about being lazy, but it's a heart issue. And I told you that today we would begin to study something that would be a remedy for that, that would allow us to just get so full of this that there's no room for that complacency in us. So today we're starting a new series entitled Being Found Diligent. Being Found Diligent. You'll see why the Lord named it that for us. And today we're going to be looking at really what He is commanding us to do. We have no option but to be obedient if we're going to be diligent with what He is teaching us today. Now, let me just pray as we get started today. Father, I just thank You that You've given us Your Word, that Word that when we speak it forth will bring forth results in our lives, but more importantly, it'll be a testimony in the lives of others, and we can minister and do the things that You've called us to do that maybe we thought was impossible. So we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You today we're going to learn how to step into that in a more full manner, begin to fully walk in what You've called each of us separately to do. And Father, I thank You that every one of us, it's important that we do our job, because without one, we are an incomplete as Your body. So we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. So being found diligent, and today we're going to be talking about the command of diligent. Go with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to read a couple of verses 1 and 2, to set this entire study up. And I am going to read this from the New King James today. This one verse, we'll go back and forth. But beloved, that's you and I now. I now write you to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So some of the things I've highlighted in your notes, and let me just mention on notes, if you're not receiving them, I know we had a couple of new people in the past weeks, you can contact us by sending a message to Minton Williams Ministries, or you can send it also to Patricia Dudley, a Facebook message, a private one, and provide your email, and we'll send these notes to you. But he says, what I'm doing is I want to stir you up. So he's telling us there are some things that we need to get a better grip on, that we need to be improving on, constantly improving, I would add. So I stir up your pure minds. Now, when he says that, to me, that talks to me about a mind that which is renewed. In other words, my spirit and my soul are in alignment. And it's my spirit that ought to dictate to my soul what it believes. So we see coming out in this very first verse, this issue of it being from the heart that we talked about last week, where complacency can get in our heart. Today, we're going to get it out. He goes on and says, I want you to be mindful of the words which were spoken by the prophets and through us, the apostles. Now, I want to read this to you in two other translations because it picks up on several different elements that I think are important. Peter writing says, this is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking. I like that phrase. To me, that sounds like something that's heartfelt, that I truly believe it in. It's good, it's wholesome, and refresh your memory. So he's saying, now you've heard some of these things before, but don't start this. Well, I know that. In verse 2, he goes on to say, I want you to remember that what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. So when Peter and Paul and others are writing, what do we know? That the Lord is speaking to us personally. He's giving us those things which edify and build us up, but he's also giving us commands. Passion Translation says just a little differently, and I really like it. Beloved friends, this is now the second letter which I've written to you, in which I've attempted to stir you up, and here's the phrase I like that Passion adds, and awaken you to a proper mindset. Now, when I read that, awaken you to this proper mindset, my mind went back to recalling the verse talking about that we are to awake unto what? Unto righteousness. So we begin to see a link that you're going to see throughout this study where righteousness and being diligent play a role together. So I want to awaken you to a proper mindset so that you never forget the prophecy spoken by the holy prophets of old and the teaching of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So this, I want to go back real quick to this pure mind again. Pure mind, having truth that guides our thinking. In other words, it implies that my heart, my spirit, and my soul are in alignment. And when we get like that, we know from previous teachings that we've seen, the Lord says we can dominate our flesh. Now, in these verses, in starting in verse 3 and all the way down through 13, he begins to have a discussion of the coming kingdom of God. We're not going to read those for time's sake. But in verse 9, he has this phrase that he wants us to notice the patience that the Lord has for salvation. And in verse 11, he tells us we need to be living holy and looking for his return. Now think about those things as we go in now to verse 14. Therefore, so because of what he's just told us, those things that we just mentioned, beloved, and notice how he's constantly just refreshing our mind and calling to our attention that we are beloved. And it's from that love that righteousness flowed. So, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Now, what things are that? Well, certainly it's his return, but also it's living holy. Also, it's understanding how he is patient, wanting more to be saved. In other words, for salvation to manifest. So it's not just his return, it's all those together. Because we'd be real selfish if we just say, Lord, return, I don't care about anybody else. But we're seeing the mind of Christ in this. So therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him, talking about Jesus, in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider the long-suffering, the patience of our Lord is salvation. So he's stressing that again. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to us. But now, let's talk about this word diligent here. But let's also notice that we're being diligent to be found by him in peace. And how does peace come to us? Through righteousness. And this builds on righteousness without spot and blameless. So we see this just tying right back in. He wants us to be diligent in this thing, which includes righteousness. So diligent here to be found by him. Now, I would say this. We want to be found diligent at all times, not just when we think he's looking at us or he's instructed us to do something and he's waiting to see what we'll do. But also, he wants us to be in that in peace, spotless and blameless. So my question is, do we see ourselves this way? And you better answer yes, those of you who attended all the righteousness teachings. And if you didn't, go back and listen to them because that's just so foundational. But he wants us to see ourselves that way, as we talked concerning our identity. Now, I want you to notice also in verse 15, the long-suffering of our Lord, the patience of our Lord. And we mentioned that he had said that in some earlier verses. Now, why I'm stressing this is because I want you to be prepared to know that this part of patience is what we're going to be seeing over and over again if we're to be found diligent. So there is not another item. It goes hand in glove with what we're going to be talking about. Now, most translations use the word diligent, but the Amplified Version says to be eager. The Weymouth Version says to earnestly seek. And finally, the Williams Translation, again, not mine, says be in earnest, and all of them are pointing toward what? To be found in Him, diligent. Now, it makes me think when I read these things of what Jesus said concerning His return. When I return, will I find faith? But we also have to remember He says the just will live by faith. So He's expecting us to be diligent so that when He does return, He'll find us walking in that faith. So we see here that diligence is to be a way of life for us. And we're going to see this stressed over and over. The word diligent in the Greek that's used in these verses is spoudazo, and it's in your notes. And it literally means this, to use speed. Now, I might say, I want you to get there. You know, I had a basketball coach once that would say, I want you here in this corner and I want you quick. And that's what comes to mind. He said, every time you come down to court, that's where you need to be. And then another one says, to make an effort, which says to me, this is going to be an act of our will, of something that we are led, commanded, and we respond to. Another one says, to be prompt. In other words, don't put it off. You'll see that come in later to play next week. And also, be earnest, or be serious about it. And you can see in your notes, it means diligence, be diligent, endeavor, labor, study. But I want you to just pick up on these four key words: speedily, prompt, earnest, and effort. Now, let's go and continue kind of to introduce this by looking at 2 Peter, the first chapter. So not far from where you are. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Now, I know that we've looked at some of these verses in the previous two studies, but I just think it's building on what we've seen, what we're talking about today. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, which they got from Jesus and we too, and look how it comes, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, I want you to pick up and just think about the word knowledge and knowing and how it's mentioned here. Grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Now, it's just not knowing about them, but it's learning their nature, how they live. And that's important for you and I. Verse 3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted or given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge, there it is again, of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. And then verse 4 says, for it's by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that you might be... Let me just start again. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. And I want to read the first half of verse 5, and we'll stop and we'll come back and pick it up. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, and then it follows it up saying, in your faith, which we were just talking about. So here in verse 5, applying all diligence, English Standard and the New Living Translation says to make every effort. The WUS translation added every intense effort. Now you see how those words really tie in to those four words we looked at just a moment ago, speedily, promptly, earnestly, for instance. And in verse 3, what it's telling us is that everything we need, all we need for life and godliness, has already been given to us. Verse 4 continues and says, so that we receive those so that we can be partakers of His divine nature. And then you're going to see verses 5, the rest of 5 through 7, really corroborate and say what those virtues are. But let's focus on this. We're partakers of His divine nature. So if we're to be found diligent, then what do we know? His nature, which is in us, contains diligence as well. A desire to please the Father, as He certainly did. So now let's go to 5. So we see this applying in all diligence. Applying in all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love, which is the foundation of the Lord. It's who He is, not what He has, but who He is. Now, listen to verses 8 and 9. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Now, can I just stop there? Do you remember we talked about being complacent? Gets to a point where we think we're just staying the same. But what did we see? If we're not increasing, we are going backwards. We're not really staying the same. So He wants these qualities to increase us. And how do they come? By applying all diligence. It says, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus. There's that knowledge again. For those who lack these qualities is blind or short-sighted. So we can't say we're blind. We're not doing this out of ignorance because we're being taught this. And being short-sighted ties into a number of things we're going to look at next week, which can cause us not to walk in diligence, of which complacency is one. And it says, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Talking about us. And then verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. I want to read King James, New King James in this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. So do you see this concept of increasing in diligence? Exactly the opposite of what we talked about with complacency last week. Be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, as I was putting this together, the Lord just dropped in my heart. And this is what He says. He says, notice that it's diligence in these things, not just these things that make you or put you in a position so that you won't stumble. So it's being diligent in these things so they become a part of our life and we live them daily. Now, the word for diligence here is that same word we looked at earlier, speedily, prompt, without delay. In other words, don't be late in this, be earnest in it. And the verse that came to mind for me on this was, have a zeal for it. And I thought about those people who have zeal without knowledge and how dangerous, so very dangerous that is. That's in Romans 10, 2. But what are we talking about here? Be diligent knowing the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. My words are truth. They are spirit and they are life. So what He's saying here is that all these times that we're being diligent is based on His word, His instruction to us. So from this, we can see that this is not a hit or miss thing we're supposed to be doing. It's not walking one day in this and the next day not. It is a consistent, and I'm going to say it this way, love-motivated effort. Now, you'll understand that momentarily. It's righteousness and living faith. Now, saints, grace is free. But if we're to walk this way, then we're maturing in our walk with Him. And maturity, while grace is free, maturity requires effort on our part. So what do we see here? Diligence plays a key role in our maturity to achieve what we thought might be impossible, but which God was telling us is very possible. So what does diligent mean in the English language? Well, Webster says it's characterized by these, and you'll see the how this ties in to what we saw in the Greek language. Steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you try to work this up from the flesh, it won't work. You cannot maintain the levels that we need to without it being from our spirit. The 1828 Webster says, or adds, it's exertion of body and mind without unnecessary delay or slothness. So it's prompt. And you will talk about sloth or slothful and that kind of thing next week. The Latin origin for this word diligent, our word for diligent, is diligere, D-I-L-I-G-E-R-E. And listen to what it means. To highly value, to take delight in, to love, to choose. So what does this do? If we understand what this is saying and what it meant in the origin of the word that we use today, then it's going to give us motivation for being diligent, because how we see His word, how we respect His word, how we honor it, how we value highly, it determines how we're going to walk in this. And we're to walk being diligent, just as Jesus was when He fulfilled everything the Father asked Him to do. So we need to understand, though, that we all have areas that we do things very diligently in, just in our natural being. And then we got a number of things that we don't. And you know what? That's kind of like faith. Some of you have greater faith in areas than I have ever had. And we're all different like that, but together we can bring this together and be that body He wants us to be. Now, what we see in this is that diligence is a heart issue. It's based on our love for Jesus, valuing His word, choosing to delight Him, choosing to be obedient to His calling for us. And it's all because we have been able to partake of His divine nature. Now, I want to move through four or five examples of what we are commanded to do with respect to diligence. Hebrews 11:6, New King James. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, diligently seek here, those two words together, is just one word in the Greek, which means to search out until it's found, to crave, or to demand. And in doing so, it's to require, to inquire, or to diligently or carefully seek after. So it's as if we know it's there, and we're not going to quit until it's found, much like a parent would be if a child was lost. The Passion Translation, listen to it. And without faith living in us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real and that He rewards the faith, listen to this phrase, of those who give all their passion and strength in seeking Him. Now, does that sound like wholehearted? It sure does to me. So we are to pursue wholehearted. And that's what it's saying. When we know that He is and know that He's a rewarder and we pursue Him wholeheartedly, we're going to be put in a position to receive all that Jesus has purchased for us on the cross. Again, wholeheartedness ties directly to diligence. Let's go to the Old Testament, Joshua 22, verse 5. King James reads, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law." So there is diligent heed to obey and do, "which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul," with your whole being. Diligent here in the Hebrew language is the word me'od, which means vehemence or vehemently, and it implies wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and speedily. It refers to doing those things in a superlative manner. In other words, we excel in that. It's translated diligent, diligently, fast, quick, exceedingly, greatly. You get the picture, just like we've been talking about. Now, as I was putting this verse 5 down, I was prompted to read verse 4. So I want to read this to you. What just preceded this talk about taking diligent heed. It says, "And now the Lord your God has given you rest unto your brethren." So he's saying, okay, you've entered into the land. I've given it to you. The enemy's been driven out. That battle is over. So you've entered into that rest. As he promised them, "Therefore, now return ye and get into your tents and to the land of your possession." So he's saying, go in and take it over, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Now, I want you to notice here. In verse 5, he's not talking to them about being diligent in fighting the battle here, is he? He's talking about being even more diligent when we're entering into his rest after the victory. And yet most of us will try to be diligent when we need to fight. But what we're seeing here with these verses, we're to be diligent all the times. Now, I want to mention this word in verse 5. Take diligent heed. This word heed is the word shamar in the Hebrew language, and it means to hedge about or to guard. It means to keep. It is the same word that is used to talk about Adam keeping the garden in Genesis 2:15, and it's the same word that's used in 3:24 of Genesis, where the Lord places an angel there to guard the garden. So diligent heed is to be paid to the command of the Lord to do what he said. And so if we think back now to 2 Peter 3:1-2 that we read, the relationship between diligence and the word goes back to hearing word, have knowledge of what he wants you to do, and acting upon it, and doing it with, I would say, zeal. Now, when we do this, we are in a position where it's going to be very hard for the devil to deceive us. When we're walking in his knowledge and we're diligent to walk in it, then deception ought to be something that doesn't have success coming against us. Two more. Proverbs 4:23. And one of my favorites, and I'm sure many of you as well, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." New American Standard says it a little clearer. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Now the word "keep" here is another word which means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to obey. The "all" means all, the whole thing. And diligence is a word here which is taken from the word to guard. I find that interesting. So it's a garb, one placed over a man. But figuratively, here's what it means. To make a deposit, to make an investment in. Now go back to what diligere, D-I-L-I-G-E-R-E, and I'm sure I butchered the Latin. My dad tried to get me to take it, and I just refused in high school. But it means to value and esteem highly, to love. Folks, he is worthy of an investment that we need to make. And how we walk in diligence is a direct reflection of how we value and see our Lord Jesus. Amplified for this one says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." Now, look with me, verses 20 and 20 through 22, because this is what is just above him telling us, "Therefore, keep your heart with all diligence. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." But what is the diligence? The diligence here is in knowing. It's in knowing the Word. It's in knowing Jesus, who is the Word. And it's also being diligent to stay in this relationship with him. And it's just exactly as we saw earlier when we were talking about knowledge. Now, the final few verses for today are in Hebrews 6. And we're going to read 9 through 12, and then we'll come back and talk about, well, we may talk about them as we go through them for time's sake. But beloved, New American Standard I'm reading, we are convinced. And don't you just love how all these scriptures on diligence start out with beloved? But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. And I believe what he's saying is, do we understand and have appreciation for the goodness, the greatness of what we have in our salvation? And again, it's not that we just understand it, but we do what? See ourselves in this manner. Then verse 10 says, for God is not unjust, so forget your work and the love which you've shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Now, your work is important to God, but it's done through his grace, not to earn his grace. And we don't try to do work on our own, or we'd just be going from one side of the road to the other, all over the place. But we are expected to have works, good works, produce good fruit. And all this comes from this diligent labor of love. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So here again is another validation that it's the diligence of us walking in all these things, doing it on a daily basis, being consistent with it, that produces in us. Now the word diligence here is a little bit different, but it comes from that same root word we saw in the very first time we looked at the word diligent. So it means speed, eagerness, earnestness. It implies, though, in this verse, that not all people are doing what? Not all people are showing the same diligence that he's called us to do. Because he wouldn't talk about continue with diligence. And then the question comes up, well, how long do I have to continue with it? And what do we know? To the end. Because we've always got to be increasing in it. Of the increase of his kingdom, of the increase of the diligence he wants you to walk in, there is none until we end up with that diligence, just like Jesus, walking with the same commitment he did. In verse 12, we see the importance of it then. But in verse 12, that you may not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience. Oh my, there's faith again, but even more so there's patience again, being talked about in terms of being diligent. Diligence is linked to faith and patience. Staying diligent is important to faith and patience. That's where we get the results. But we must see that the fruit of the Spirit that's already in us is what will help produce that, as through the love that we have. You know, with this diligent walk of faith with patience, that's really how we inherit promises. That's how we can call things that be not as though they were, and then they become. So what do we see? Diligence is part of a sustaining force that he has given us so that we can walk in the fullness of what he provided for us on the cross. Now, it's often easy to get started being diligent, to try to persevere to the end, but it can be difficult often. And so this is where I would call this force of diligence coming into play so that we can walk in it as we need to. Again, I have to say it. Remember the root from the Latin language, what you value, what you place a great importance on, what you're willing to invest in. Now, you will notice in verse 12 that we see the word sluggish. And some of you probably saw last week or thought about that word sluggish being the same as complacency. Now, in this case, it's not. And you're going to see that more clearly. It's not being lazy either. So there are some ties to complacency, but what you're going to see is that all of these things that we're going to look at next week, which try to hold us back from walking in diligence, all these things are not just flesh components. They are spiritual components that we need to make sure we deal with. And we're going to spend time on those so that we can feed our spirit man and we don't have a heart issue with it. Now, also, I just want to reiterate, don't be surprised to seeing more and more of a big deal being made about righteousness of God in Christ, about us being made the righteousness of God in Christ, as we study diligence. I can assure you, you will not be able to be diligent until you understand your righteousness, because you're going to have condemnation flying at you all over the place if you're not. So today, just let me end with this. The diligent person's personal relationship with God grows and strengthens with the diligent effort that is placed into seeking Him, His Word, but not only just seeking it, but being obedient to it and guarding our heart above all. This is not an option. We saw today, these are commandments that He's given us. So we will look next week at the things that hinder us, and then we'll begin to move forward so that we see how to walk in this diligence. And we'll just look at a number of different items that I think will strengthen us to achieve all He wants us to do. Look forward to being with you in the future on this study.